Shalom, this is Yair Davidi, speaking to you from New Bambi, Jerusalem. Speaking to you on behalf of Brit-Am. Brit-Am is an organization that the beliefs of the Lost Ten Tribes are today to be found amongst Western peoples, amongst peoples in the North America, Canada and the USA, Australia, New Zealand, the British Isles, Ireland, and the western coasts of Europe, including parts of France and Switzerland. And as well as that, as we said, the western coasts of Europe, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Iceland, Holland, Belgium, and France. We're not saying that everyone in these areas belongs to the Lost Ten Tribes. We are saying that is where the Lost Ten Tribes historically were to be concentrated. That is where they came to their expression according to the Bible. They gave a voice to the task that the divine providence had laid upon them. This applies especially to the inhabitants of the British Isles and their offshoots overseas amongst the so-called English-speaking peoples, Anglo-Saxons and related peoples, who we connect to Joseph. We connect the British and the peoples associated with the British, including the Irish, most of the Irish, and including most of the people in North America, Australia, New Zealand, and so on, and peoples in South Africa, with the tribes of Joseph. And we have justifications for this. We have justifications for this identification, both from the Bible and from history. And some more details concerning this matter may be found from our website, www.britam.org, Britam.org, and there you will find up to 1,000 articles, all of them of great importance, of great interest on this matter, proving that the Lost Ten Tribes are today to be found amongst Western peoples. Present talk concerns proof as to who the Lost Ten Tribes were. And now we are about to consider Joseph. First we had the forefathers Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They gave rise to the Israelite peoples. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob is also known as Israel. One of the sons of Jacob was Joseph. Joseph was his favorite son. He bought Joseph a cloak of many colors, actually a cloak of a tartan type design, a Scottish tartan type design. His brothers were jealous of him, and they sold him into Egypt. In Egypt he became, after being sold as a slave, he was unjustly imprisoned, and then he, through a combination of circumstances, through his ability to interpret dreams, he eventually became the effective ruler of the country, second only to Pharaoh. He introduced agricultural reforms into Egypt. He foresaw the coming of a famine that would affect all of the world, and he set up stores of grain. Consequently, he was able to save his brother, all of his brothers and his father, all of his father's family, and he caused them to come down into Egypt, and he saved all of the world. And he himself had two sons. He married Osnat, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest. From Osnat he had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And these two sons were considered as part of the 12 tribes, as individual tribes in their own right. And from his descendants, from the descendants of Joseph, according to prophecy, were to become the leading tribes amongst the lost tribes of Israel. And the tribes of Israel, all of the tribes of Israel, had a divine task placed upon them. Their task was to civilize the world, to make the world a better place to live in, to become a great and mighty nation, to rule over the world, to civilize the world, to uplift the world, to even lose their identity, to become lost, to become the lost tribes of Israel, in order that they should rise up again, in order that they should evolve, elevate themselves, and in the course of their self-elevation, bring the rest of the world with them. And this is what they have done. This is what the tribes of Joseph, people we identify as being belonging to the tribes of Joseph, this is what they have done. They have helped all the world. They have helped reform all of the world. They have done good for all of the world. They have been a beneficial evidence in all the world. They have done very positive things. And they are the only nations who have so acted, who have achieved so much. They have also done here and there bad things. It is not a black and white record. They've done very bad things, or things that are at least questionable. Even if we look at them in historical perspective, as we must do, even so they're still questionable. There's still a lot of question marks about their behaviour. Nevertheless, their balance is in their favour, and we must admit this. And this is what the Bible said would happen. This is what the Bible and related biblical sources, sources connected to the Bible, said would happen to them. And this is what did happen to them. And for more information concerning Lost and Tribes, you may go to our website, www.britam.org, britam.org, and there you will find more information. Concerning Joseph, we say that the peoples of North America and the Britain, and Auschwitz of the Britain, belong to Joseph. And this article, this present talk, concerns it. As an introduction, we have written a little poem. We have a poem, an introductory poem, and also at the end we have another longer poem summarizing what we have said. So I'll read out this poem and then I'll get down to the nitty-gritty and give the facts. We won't take too long about it. We'll give you an overall thumbnail sketch, as if to say, but the information is important. The information is very interesting, and it's worth your while to listen to us. So here we go with the poem. Poem is entitled Joseph, an Introduction. It says, Joseph was the favorite child of Israel, his dad, who gave him a coat of colors and interlocked line, Scottish tartan design, pride and glory not decline. As the Bible wrote, preeminence he had, refined and mild, sometimes also wild. His brothers were jealous and overduly zealous. They sold him as a slave to an Arab band. Taken to a foreign land, the nation to save, the great and the small, Joseph fed them all. The Manasseh banner showed a pyramid tower, as may be seen on a US dollar bill, with an all-seeing eye, our ruler in the sky. Prosperity and power with the civil manner, say what you will, there has never been any national group other than Canada and the USA, Australia, New Zealand and UK. Along with the West that fit the criteria best, it cannot be another, only they to the Jews. An old brother, as we would choose, even if it were not so, that is how we would prefer our destined task to undergo. Any other choice to defer, what is more, our historical acts and geopolitical facts enable us to be sure that we are all one nation with the Hebrews of old, an ancestral corporation, as prophecy foretold. The signs all fit, we suit all of it. So that was the poem, an introductory poem, and now we're going to get down to giving an overview of what the Bible says concerning Joseph. We'll tell you a little bit about what the Bible says concerning Joseph, what the prophecies were, then we will show how the prophecies have been fulfilled. And we'll give another little poem, and that will be our talk. The Bible tells us in Genesis 37:2 that Joseph was the favorite son of his father. His father gave him a cloak of many colors. He used to mind the flocks together with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. The mother of Joseph was Rachel. She was the favorite wife of Jacob. Jacob is also known as Israel. Israel had two major wives, and each wife had a maidservant, who all were also the wives of Jacob, so altogether he had four wives. It says that Jacob, that is Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob loved Joseph more than the others, more than his other sons. And he made him a coat of parsim, a coat of many colors, as it's translated. In Hebrew it says, cotton at parsim, which actually means the variegated colors, squares, colors and squares, colors and interlocked lines. Like a tartan pattern that we find on Scottish kilts. That's a type of cloak that was made for Joseph. It represented a dignity and rank. And the brothers hated Joseph because of that, and because of the father his father showed him, and also because Joseph did not speak well of them. At all events, they hated him. They were unable to speak well of him. Well, Joseph dreamt dreams. He dreamt a few dreams. One dream he saw a sheaf. A sheaf was like a bundle of wheat tied together, a bundle of grain in the fields. So that's what a sheaf is. So he saw he had his sheep was in the field, and all the other sheep, his 11 sheep were all around about with the other brothers, and they all bow, all the sheep bowed down to his sheep. And this relates to the ancestor of the Anglo-Saxons, who was known as Sheld Sheafing, or the Shield of the Sheeps. According to legend, Sheld Sheafing was descended from Shem. He was descended from Shem, and he appeared as a child in a boat without oars, like Moses later did. And he taught his people the arts of agriculture and civilization. So elsewhere, a study of this legend of Sheld Sheafing shows that it's linked to traditions concerning Joseph and also concerning Moses, who have coalesced into one figure known as Sheld Sheafing, who according to their own tradition was the traditional ancestor of the Angles and the Saxons. Another dream, Joseph saw that the 11 stars and the sun and the moon would all bow down to him. The brothers hated Joseph, and they may have had a reason to do so. That is another discussion. At all events, whatever the cause, they plotted to kill him. They intended to kill him. Reuben, who was one of the brothers, persuaded them not to. So they grabbed hold of Joseph and threw him in a pit. Afterwards, a band of traveling Arabs, Ishmaelites or Midianites, two different nations emerged into one, but formed the forerunners of the Arab nation. So they were passing by on the way to Egypt. So the brothers pulled Joseph up out of the pit they had thrown him into, and they sold him to as a slave. In Egypt, he was taken down into Egypt, became a slave. Whilst he was working as a slave or as a servant, the wife of his master tried to seduce him, to get him to sleep with her. He disagreed. She accused him of rape. He was falsely accused, and then he was thrown into prison. In prison, he became in charge of the other prisoners. He was trusted by them, the goalkeeper, the jailkeeper. He met their two servants of the king, who were also imprisoned. And he correctly interpreted the dreams that both of them had. Afterwards, one of the dreams came true. One of the servants became returned to serve the king, known as Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he told the king about Joseph, and the king of Egypt had a dream that he wanted interpreted. So he called Joseph to him. Joseph interpreted the dream, and the Pharaoh ended up appointing Joseph to be the effective ruler of all of Egypt. Joseph foresaw, he saw that a famine would come, that there would be no grain, there would be 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of scarcity, of extreme scarcity. So during the 7 years of plenty, when there was plenty of good harvests, he stockpiled grain in granaries belonging to the king, so that later when the famine did come, and he was able to save and feed all of Egypt, and not only Egypt, but most of the world, possibly all of the world at that time. It was a universal famine. And so the brothers of Joseph came down too. They were then in the land of Canaan. They came down to Egypt to buy grain. There Joseph saw them. He recognized them. They did not recognize him. But eventually he was reconciled to them, and because of him, the Israelites came down into Egypt, and they settled there, and they dwelt there for several hundred years until they were taken out of Egypt by Moses. So whilst Jacob, the father of Joseph, and the brothers were living in Egypt, they were given an area in the land of Goshen, which is to the east of the River Nile, and in the future this area will belong to Israel, will be part of the promised land, as told in Joshua 11 verse 41. And then his father was about to die, so he called to Joseph to come to him that he should receive a blessing. So Joseph came with his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And then, this is all told in Genesis chapter 48. And Jacob is also known as Israel. Israel had 12 sons. Joseph was one of them. Jacob said that the two sons of Ephraim and Manasseh would have the equal rights as full-fledged tribes on their own. They would be counted as separate tribes within the tribes of Israel, and the same as Simeon and Manasseh and the other tribes. They would be counted as tribes in their own right. And then Jacob, he goes on and he recalls the promises that the Almighty had made to him, that he should be fruitful and multitudinous, that a vast number of people, as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea, should come out of him, that he should become a community of people and receive the land. And he said that all the blessings that he had received from his fathers should be multiplied many times over, and that blessing should be given unto Joseph, whereas the other tribes were to receive the blessing that he had received from his fathers. In other words, Joseph received a separate blessing, and this is quite a separate blessing of his own. And this separate blessing of his own was in addition to the blessing that was to go to the other tribes. And Joseph was blessed, so too, in the same way as Jacob had been, as Abraham and Isaac had been, but even more so, the blessings are then given to Ephraim and Manasseh. Each one receives his own blessing, and we will give a separate talk, and we have written separate articles in the future, and we intend to do so in the near future concerning the separate tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. So that point we may leave aside at the moment. Now we are just speaking concerning Joseph in general. And so too, Jacob blessed him, and he said, and he blessed Joseph, see in Genesis 48:15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. He says, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. So we see here a possible indication that the names of the children who would come out of the sons of Joseph, that they should be similar or somehow recall Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, or Israel. It's not necessarily so, but it is a strong indication. This is what we do find. We do find in history, we do find peoples who settled in the British Isles, from whom later came the founding fathers of the USA and other nations. We do find that they had names that recall the Israelites, the ancient Israelites. We had the Hiberi. The Hiberi were the original settlers of Ireland, of Britain, Wales and England and northern Scotland, and also parts of Gaul or France. They're all known as Hiberi. If you read a history book or look it up on the internet, or I don't know what you do, if you remember from your school days, you will have been told that the original settlers of the British Isles were called Celts, or Celts, C-E-L-T-S, that they were the original inhabitants of that area of Western Europe, and then along came the Anglo-Saxons and the Franks and other peoples and conquered the area from them, at least in part. That is what you would have been told, and that is what you probably remember. And there's a lot of literature on this subject. You've probably been exposed to it. You've probably heard of the Celtics. The Celtics, an Irish football team, I believe, in America. And there's Celtic music, Irish music. And Celtic this and Celtic that. And it's true. There's something special about it. It really is something special. It's worth listening to, and it's worth taking an interest in. The only thing is that it should not be necessarily be called Celtic. Celtic was not the name that these people themselves used for themselves. The name they used for themselves was Hiberi. They called themselves Hiberi or Iberi. You've probably heard of the Iberian Peninsula. The Iberian Peninsula is a name given to Spain and Portugal together. The name Iberian Peninsula was given to Spain because originally people known as the Hiberi dwelt there. They dwelt there before the present Spanish and Portuguese came there. Afterwards, most of them moved out, but they left their name there. They left their name there and left their name there to the Iberos, different places, and so on. But one of the names they left there was Ibernia, or Iberia, after the Iberi. So too we have the expression Hibernian. You've probably heard the name expression Hibernian. We have the Hibernian Society. Hibernian is a poetical or literary way of saying someone Irish, someone from Irish, may be referred to as a Hibernian. The word Hibernian comes from Hiberi, and these are just Western forms of the term Ivri or Ibri, which is the word we know as Hebrews. Hebrews. The Hebrews are the Israelites. Hebrews is another name for Israelites. Abraham the Hebrew. Abraham was the first known Hebrew. Abraham the Hebrew. And so we see. That's how what it was referred to. Abraham was known as Abraham the Hebrew. And so we see the Hibernians, whatever you want to call them, people with this name. Iberi. And we have about 100 different settlements that still have this name, both in France and the British Isles, or somehow other names which have evolved from this word root, Iber, which is an ethnic term and refers to the original inhabitants of the area. It means, it's the same word as Hebrew. They were called Hebrews, that was what they were known as. And also we have the term Scot, the Scotty. The Scotty gave their name to Scotland. The term Scot means wanderer. It actually means it's one of the... another way, another term for Hebrew, because Hebrew can also mean wanderer. The people known as Iberi and the Gali, the people known as the Iberi, also known as the Scotty. In other words, Scotty was another way of saying, possibly in another dialect, another way of saying Hebrew to the people who used these expressions in the first place. We also have a tradition in Irish literature that their ancestors were descended from Isru. Isru is another form of Israel. We also know that the Anglo-Saxons were named after the Scyths, or the Sakai, or the Iskiguli, or the Zohak, people from Scythia, who actually descend from Israel, as we have explained in several books of ours and short articles on the subject, may be found on our website, www.britam.org. Britam.org. This is not some type of 19th century belief or some type of mythology which enthusiasts have revived. These are things which are research, accepted research, in effect, research, accepted academic research and archaeological findings have confirmed that many of the peoples in the West do descend from the Scythians, from peoples in the East, present-day area of Russia, and the Anglo-Saxons, or at least groups, important groups amongst them, did come from Scythia, and that's where they received their name from. The term Saxon eventually derived from Isaac. It's another way of saying sons of Isaac, or belonging to Isaac. So we have the name Yax, which is short for Jacob. In French, Yarkus is a nickname for someone from French. We have Jock, someone, a Scottish person, is nicknamed as a Jock. That's a name for a Scottish person. They call themselves Jock. They have the Union Jack after King James, but James is another form for Jacob. The Union Jack is the flag of the United Kingdom of Great Britain. We also have the term Yank or Yankee for American, even though within America the term Yank means someone from North America, relating back to the Civil War. Even so, to outsiders, to foreigners, a Yank or a Yankee is anyone from the USA. in the eyes of others. And the term Yank is actually a shortened form of Jake or Yaakov. In Yiddish, Yank, also in European Germanic dialects, Yank is another way of saying Jack. Even in Hebrew, the term Yaakov, could also have been pronounced Yankov. The Yan could be there with the Ein. It's a somewhat complicated linguistic explanation, but it works. It does exist. It is there. It is there in the sources, and it can be confirmed. In other words, these people were given national names or nicknames that do recall the names of the fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And they are, as far as I know, they're the only peoples in the world to which these nicknames apply, who are named somehow or other after Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, or at the least that they have names that are similar to what we would refer to as Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And this is what Jacob, when he gave his blessing to Joseph, prophesied would come about. He said, "Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So here we already have two major signs. We want to find a people on whom who are called by the names relating back to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and also that they should be a multitude, a great number of people in the middle of the earth, in the center of the earth, in the center of world affairs. And this is what we find with Anglo-Saxon peoples. Afterwards, Jacob in Genesis 49:22 refers to Joseph as a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. So these words in Hebrew, Ben Purat, Yosef, Alei Shor, Alei Ein, and so on. In Hebrew, they have different words, different meanings. And then we have a principle in Hebrew exegesis in interpreting the Hebrew Bible, that several different explanations given on the same verse can all be applicable. So here too we have a recollection of an all-seeing eye, the eye of providence, and of the bull, for the sake of the bull. And Joseph was likened unto a bull. Joseph is later referred to as the firstborn bull of his bull. So to Ephraim, the son of Joseph, was referred to as a bull calf in Jeremiah chapter 31. It's a nickname given to Ephraim, and also it was a symbol of Joseph was a bull, and also too in this blessing we have a reference to the all-seeing eye, the all-seeing eye of providence that is found on the Great Seal of the USA. Above a pyramid, if you look at a dollar bill, on the dollar bill you have a reproduction of the Great Seal of the USA. This is the official symbol of the USA. And there you will see a picture of one eye over a pyramid. The one eye represents Alei Ein, the Ein of Joseph, the all-seeing eye, the Ein of divine providence, which Joseph referred to. And below that you have a picture of a pyramid, and a pyramid, as we look at a pyramid, we recollect Egypt, and Egypt reminds us of the pyramids, or pyramids, when we see a pyramid, we are reminded of Egypt. And it was said in the Midrash, according to Jewish tradition, Jewish rabbinical tradition, the symbol of Joseph would be a picture of Egypt, a picture recalling Egypt, in other words, a pyramid. And for more details on this matter, for explanations of the linguistic niceties which enables us to reach this conclusion, which justifies this conclusion, go to our website and look it up on our site, because we have articles on this matter that explain it quite thoroughly and in some detail. Also says that branches would run over the wall, meaning that overseas expansion is a seed. It would flow over, that would overflow into other nations and settle other nations. It also predicted in Numbers 24:7, "He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and the seed shall be in many waters." There too it is prophesied the descendants of Israel would be the greatest countries in the earth. And then too, is mentioned in connection with bows and arrows, and we find the bows and arrows as part of the official symbol emblems of the USA. We have 13 arrows on the dollar bill. And he's also blessed and seen Genesis 49:23, by the God of the Father shall help you, and by the Almighty may you be blessed, who shall bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. You have blessings of heaven above, in other words, a good climate and agricultural benefits. Blessings of the deep, that means water resources and mineral resources, gold, silver, copper, zinc, bauxite, everything, oil, petroleum, every type of mineral resource. Blessings of the breasts and of the womb, in other words, healthy and fertile, and bounty and family life. All these are gifts from the Almighty. As he goes on, and he continues, the blessings of your father have prevailed by the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. This expression, separate from his brethren, in Hebrew is Nazir Echav, which can also mean the crowned over his brethren. And the two meanings, both separate from his brethren and crowned over his brethren, the two meanings are applicable. And they do apply. And they do apply to these so-called Anglo-Saxon nations. Moses, later on, we find in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 13, and onwards, that Moses also blessed Joseph, and the blessings that Moses gave to Joseph, to the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, but to Joseph as one unit, similar to those that Jacob gave to him. And he also mentions he was separated from his brethren, Azir Echav, meaning both separate from, dwelling apart from, and someone who was crowned above. And he also there too, he mentions his glory is like the firstlings of his bull, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. See Deuteronomy 33:17. It says his glory is like the firstling of his bull. Here we have the bull associated with Joseph. His horns are like the horns of unicorns. We have the unicorn. And the lion and the unicorn are the symbols of Great Britain. And the bull is also a symbol of Joseph. The bull is also a symbol of England. John Bull is similar to Uncle Sam. John Bull is a popular figure, was a popular figure amongst cartoonists and playwriters and people who make speeches and so on. And he represents the English character, the English nation, or the British as a whole. Not only the English, but also the whole of Britain. And here too mentions a bull in association with Joseph, as it says in Deuteronomy 33:17. His glory is like the firstling of his bull, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the ten thousands of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. So here, through what we have gone, through what we have talked about, we have come across several characteristics that could apply to the descendants of Joseph. And if we find these characteristics fulfilled in any particular nation, that nation automatically becomes a candidate to be descended from Joseph, because according to prophecy, the descendants of Joseph must be found somewhere, and they must be prominent in the world today. So we have the predictions that Joseph would be prominent in the world in times. We have certain characteristics that define Joseph, and some of these characteristics also apply to the characteristics of Israel in general, which we have spoken of in previous talks, or to the particular characteristics of Ephraim and Manasseh that we will speak of later, but which articles about may be already be found in great detail on our website www.britam.org. Returning to Joseph in general, we have certain characteristics which we can already take from what we have just spoken of. Concerning Joseph, we must look for someone who is stars, or the moon, the sun, and the stars. And because of in Hebrew tradition, they would have tried to avoid drawing the moon and the sun. Instead of the moon and the sun, they would have added two stars. So therefore, you get 13 stars, and 13 stars are associated with the USA. We have a sheep. We have to find the sheaf of wood. Of wheat, which all the other sheep stood up to. I mean, remember that the ancestor of the Anglo-Saxons was known as sheep, shield sheafing, sheaf. We also have a midrash that says that Joseph was sold to Egypt. When he was sold to Egypt, he was brought with alacrity by a ruling prince who saw that this was an exceptional person, and that he looked like a Germany. A Germany is related to the word German. Someone who looked like a German, as known in the time of the Midrash. In other words, 300, 400, 500, 600 even, see, 700 in that period. And it mainly referred to people from the north, people who mainly afterwards later moved out of Germany, but they were the classic Germans. People who were Nordic, what was called Nordic, very fair of appearance. And this apparently was what Joseph did look like. This was a picture of Joseph. Joseph did look like a Nordic person. And Nordic people, Nordic-looking people, did exist in the land of Israel alongside much darker types. Alongside, there were also many darker types, maybe the majority were darker types, but fair-haired people, blonde-haired people, red-haired people, people with blue eyes and so on, and light-coloured skin, were to be present in the land of Canaan in the time of the Israelites. We have an article on this with illustrations taken from Egyptian tombs of the people in question. Joseph later married. He married an Egyptian woman, the daughter of an Egyptian priest. This woman would assumedly have been most like most of the Egyptians at the time, of Mediterranean, darkish Mediterranean type. So we had these two types. And we do find the British inhabitants of the British Isles do show these two types of people having merged together. Mediterranean, darkish type peoples together with Nordics. In addition to that, the British Isles is a cold country with a lot of cloud cover. It is conducive to people, to the lighter coloured skin types. They are more suited to that region. And therefore, the environment would have encouraged more of that type to become predominant. This is not evolution. This is what we have, what we can define as an organism that reacts to its environment according to an inbuilt adaptability system, and that this adaptability is passed on through hereditary. More details on these matters and articles and illustrations and so on may be found on our website. Go to www.britam.org. He also must be, Joseph must be a company of nations in the end times, such as the United Kingdom, the United States, the British Commonwealth, or Britain and the USA together. All of these can be considered a company of nations. They must have the Hebrew patriarchal names, such we record Union Jack, Jock, Yak, Yank, what we spoke of above, that these names are derived from Hebrew names, so names of the Hebrew patriarchs, and this is what Isaac prophesied would be necessary in order to identify them, and these are the types of names that they would hold. We must also find a country that has indulged, participated in overseas colonization and settlement. A country which has a bull symbol. We saw the John Bull is a symbol of Britain. The all-seeing eye as part of the American symbolism, USA symbolism, seen on the Great Seal. The pyramid symbol, also seen on the Great Seal. We might have to find an international power, a group of peoples who are very powerful and very strong and very, very numerous. And this is what we do find. We also find in the USA and Australia and related nations that they have received blessings of the deep water and mineral resources. They have been blessed with health and fertility and long life and bounty and family life. All of these are gifts from the Almighty. They are also separated geographically from other peoples, which was also a sign of Joseph. All these nations are apart. They are set apart. The British Isles are separated from the rest of Europe by the body, by being in an island. Napoleon said that the British, in effect, have nothing to do with Europe. They have no connection to it. They are cut off from it, and that is the way they wanted it. They didn't want anything to do with it. They wanted to be on their own, in their own little island. So too, North America and USA and Canada are cut off from the rest of the world, even though they sit where they are. But they are involved in the world, but they are, in a geographical sense, they have isolated themselves in order to develop their own ethnos, their own national identity, and their own national existence. And this is what they have done. So when we take all of these facts together, all of these different identifying signs, we find that the Anglo-Saxon, the British-speaking peoples, the peoples of Ireland, the peoples of Scotland, of Wales, of England, and their descendants overseas in the USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and so on, that these are peoples are descended from the tribes of Joseph. And so we have identified who the tribe of Joseph is in our time. To sum up, we'll read you out a poem. This poem is entitled The Signs of Joseph. The poem, The Signs of Joseph. So it begins, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, these were the patriarchs, together with the matriarchs of the chosen Israelite tribe, who were said would do well to the races of all mankind, for their ancestry to ascribe, in order their descendants to tell, we must certain signs to find, lest to ourselves we be unkind. Joseph was the favourite son, in endearment second to none. A Scottish tartan cloak was given to this bloke. He done dreamt dreams to be the ruler of everyone, no matter what it seems. Nothing is by chance. The Almighty had a plan the whole world to enhance through this Hebrew man, inspired by his never nocturnal, straight from the eternal. In his dream he did see something strange to you and me. Fraternal sheaves of grain and 13 celestial spheres presenting family fears. Over whom he would reign, they would to him bow down for their mutual good and gain. He would wear the crown in Washington and London town. Joseph was somewhat white and light. He married an Egyptian brown girl, daughter of a priest, nice and bright. Their descendants reflect them both. The flag of their children would unfurl, according to scriptural truth, over Africa and Egypt yet again. They would have the Suez Canal, the British Empire their locale, and feed the world with American grain, to grant relief from toil and pain. Several different nations politically linked together, controlling with a tether. Alien strategic stations, a company of polities, owing no apologies, swarming with a great host of numerous large population. They would have the most of colonial plantation and political elation. They must bear the name of Abraham the first Hebrew, as the Scotian Hiberi do, reflecting glory and fame. Isaac the ancestral granddad, whose blessing Joseph via Jacob had. Anglo-Saxon is the cognomen of English-speaking men and women, for in Isaac they are called, represented by great eagle bald, and by lion and unicorn. Joseph had right of firstborn. From Judah comes the future king, but Joseph's empire would take each to one his own thing. Jacob is nicknamed Jake, and Jake, a Scotch, a jock is a Scot, Jux is a Gaul. Yank and G.I. Joe do Americans make. Over the earth, via strong and tall. These are the progenitor names that Joseph would be known by, nullifying all other claims to be universal good guy, elevated and ranking high, merchandise to sell and buy. Their sign would be a bull and an all-seeing eye, their seed the world would pull, meaning over Gentiles rule. Joseph was a sanctified tool. Happy families, girls and boys, little children with their toys. They would live in healthy clime, good soil, water and rain, corn, wheat and wine sublime, health and strength without bane, fruit, beef, sheep and fish, eaten as delicious dish, lands flowing with milk and honey, blessing and joy in all their fields, everything that the soil yields, bountiful harvest with plenty of money, oil, gold, silver, copper, tin and zinc, everything mineral that you can think. The archers at him did shoot barbs of steel and rockets. Joseph does not give a hoot, he will pick their pockets. Joseph would dwell separate and alone. In every place he set the tone. This is what we are now. Cannot fake or break or leave it. Even if we know not how, we must still receive it. Thank you very much. This is Yair Davidi from Brit Am, New Bambi Brit Am Broadcasting Israel. For more information concerning what we have spoken of, for more information concerning Brit Am and the Lost Ten Tribes, go to our website www.britam.org. Thank you. May God bless all of you.